For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Is it make the playoffs or we have failed here this season?
I'm not going to put anything specific on it. We just need to play well. I mean, I think, like you said, we come out of the break, we get Philly, who's the best team in the National League, and then we get the Cardinals, who are ahead of us in our division. And then we have Arizona and the Padres, I think, right back to back. So we just have to play well. We have to continue to play well and see how it goes. But that's the most important thing.
And playing well is what the Pirates were doing leading into the break, so let's hope that some time off, some R&R for everybody but Paul Skeens and Brian Reynolds did not cool off this club. Four-game winning streak thanks to that sweep of the very lowly White Sox has the Pirates at 500 for the first time since April, and they look to get to a winning record tonight against those vaunted Phillies, those hated Phillies, 62-34, best record in all of baseball, and they will have fans in town, unfortunately, helping pack that ballpark tonight and tomorrow with Phillies fans and Yinzer Palooza going on, where we celebrate everything about Pittsburgh, from pierogies running around the ballpark to kielbasa to Wiz Khalifa smoking as much pot as he possibly can and wrapping his ass off. All of those things will be on full display at the ballpark starting tonight at 6:40, and we've got a front row seat for it right next door at Mike's Beer Bar. Malzy, believe it or not, how about this for Malzy? What a week for him. He's off today playing hooky. Wednesday he was off to play Oakmont, one of the greatest golf courses in America, and shot a spectacular 84. Today he is tailgating with family and friends. He is already about 6 or 7 beers deep as he gets himself ready for this game tonight. So if you want to text Malzy or tweet Malzy and say, hey man, where are you? Let's meet up in the parking lots and let's shotgun a beer together. You can go ahead and do that. Like I said, I'm at Mike's Beer Bar. I'll buy you a beer if you come down and say hello with me here until 5:40 when the leadoff show. Hello, Jim. When the leadoff show starts. And we got Greg Brown coming down in about 90 minutes to chat it up about the Pirates. A lot going on between now and the end of the show. We want your calls at 412-928-9370 with intern Dom producing back in Green Tree. That was Derek Sheldon, was asked a question by Starkey on expectations for the second half of the season. Is it playoffs or fail? Is it playoffs or bust for the Pirates? If they come up short, if they miss out on the playoffs, are you going to feel like they effed up and that heads need to roll and that Derek Sheldon should be fired and blah, 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 and all those things that we ask for and yearn for as fans when teams don't meet our expectations? Mike Tomlin not winning a playoff game since 2016. Mike Sullivan not winning a playoff series since 2018. The things that we hold against our coaches and organizations. Well, look, I look at it like this. Coming into the season, I thought the Pirates should have improved on 76 wins. And when the season ended last year, I thought this was a playoff, should be a playoff team. Even with the great pitching they have, I don't think they're going to be a playoff team, in part because of how tough their schedule is and how woeful their hitting is. And I have concerns about them being able to fix the hitting and also keep the pitching going in the second half. We don't know when Jared Jones is going to come back. It sounds like Paul Skeens will pitch the entire second half of the season, which is awesome. Mitch Keller had to be pulled out of his start last Sunday because he was gassed. He was tired, apparently. And we're not going to see him in this Philly series, which is something else we're going to get to a little bit later in the show. So already, I would say, leaking oil at the top of your pitching rotation, hitting still the worst in Major League Baseball, close to it, with bad OPS, bad strikeout numbers, very, very, very low batting average, ticked up here to start in July, but still not where it needs to be. So to answer the question, is it playoffs or bust for the Pirates, I would still say no. I would still say no. I don't think I will. Let me put it this way. If they finish 81-81, where they are right now, if they carry that into the next 36 games, or next 76 games, what am I talking about? Or is it 76? No, it's 66. Next 66 games, third time's a charm. If they, over the next 36 games, go 33-33 and finish exactly .500, that will be the perfect in-between where I don't want people really fired. I won't want massive overhaul. I also won't feel like the team was the season was a success. It'll be right in the middle. Anything less than 500, I will feel like they failed. They finished with a winning record but missed the playoffs. I'll think, all right, next year's got to be the year. You know, 5 years should be enough time, even in a place like Pittsburgh where the payroll is not where it should be or needs to be, near the bottom of the of all of baseball. 5 years should be enough even for a small market team to contend for the playoffs, because you're drafting at the top, you're adding great young players, and you're supposed to develop those players into the core of your team, like we're seeing with Paul Skeens, and like we should be seeing with guys like Henry Davis, who has not panned out yet. Look at the Royals. They made the World Series in 2015. They won it. They tore it down. And now, if the playoffs started today, I believe they would be in. Okay, look at the Guardians and the sustained success we've seen from them. Look at their record now. The best in the American League is a small market team. We've seen the ebbs and flows of Tampa Bay. They've had good moments. They've had bad moments. Miami last year made the playoffs. They don't invest a lot of money in their team. So they have not made the playoffs since 2015. That's almost 10 years. They decided to fire Hurdle, to fire Huntington before COVID. And so that has given this regime, this is year five. They want to tell you maybe it's year four because COVID doesn't count. It was only a 30-game season. All right, I'll buy that to some extent. But then after this year, you got to make the playoffs, okay? So they are running out of a grace period with me. I'm not going to crucify them if they finish 83-79 and miss the playoffs. I would say let's run it back next year. I'm not the biggest Derek Shelton fan, but unless he made some egregious mistakes that kept them out of the playoffs, I probably would not call for his firing. So that's where I am on the Pirates here as they start the second half. Playoffs or bust? I say no. They don't have to make the playoffs for me. I want to know if you agree or not. 412-928-9370. What are your expectations for the Pirates? What do they need to do in the second half of the season for you to be content, to be happy, to be satisfied with their season? For me, it's 500 or better. 412-928-9370. We'll take some calls on that. Mark Cabali is going to join the show at 4:15, the big kaboom, days before the Steelers head to Latrobe for training camp. Cabali put it into writing today in The Athletic, talking about Brandon Ayuk and putting out a Brandon Ayuk trade package. And he talked about this on the air with Starkey, and now he's writing it. He's now making it last forever. It's not just a soundbite that goes away. He's writing Alex Highsmith and Dan Moore Jr. for Brandon Ayuk. I would make that trade. I would absolutely do that trade. If San Francisco doesn't want draft picks because they're trying to win a Super Bowl, and they want help with their pass rush, they want someone to go opposite Nick Bosa because they don't think Leonard Floyd is good enough, and they feel like they can endure the loss or absorb the loss of Ayuk because they still have Pearsall, who they drafted in the first round. They gave Jennings big money. We know McCaffrey catches the ball out of the backfield, right? So if they feel like they don't want to pay Ayuk, obviously, or pay him market value. They want to lowball him or pay him below market. If they don't want to just take draft picks, which won't help them win a Super Bowl or knock off the Chiefs this year, well, can we give them a player who will make it worth their while? I think Highsmith is expendable because you still have Herbig behind him, and you still have Watt, which is really all you need. And you've got Hayward coming back healthy this year in your front seven. I think you'll still have, with the inside linebacker moves you made too with Queen, you subtract Highsmith, you still have one of the best front sevens in the NFL. And you have one of the worst receiver rooms in the league. So I would do that. And if that meant I got to, and I would keep my top draft picks too. So I'd keep my first round pick. I'd keep my second round pick. I just got to trade Highsmith. And in this hypothetical, Dan Moore, who I don't think has a future with this team at all for Ayuk, I would make that trade in a second. What would you give up for Brandon Ayuk? 412-928-9370 if you want to get in on that conversation. What trade? What is the most you would give up for him? Would you do a first? Would you do a first? Would you do a second and a player? Would you give up Alex Highsmith? Yesterday we had Ray Fittipaldo say James Daniels is a player that could get thrown in the trade. Again, I would be fine with that because you have the other Herbig who could start at guard, and maybe during the season he could give way to McCormick, the kid that you drafted from Dakota State, who was an ass kicker and was looked at as the best player in FCS football last year among offensive linemen. So that's a thought, too. 412-928-9370. either of those two things work, you want to talk Pirates, you want to talk Steelers, you can. I am at Mike's Beer Bar. There's already some Phillies fans here. There's a Mike Schmidt jersey. I want to give the guy the middle finger as soon as he turns around so I can tell him how much I hate Mike Schmidt. He's not looking my way right now. We can maybe jack up the volume here so I can call him out and do that. It's okay, T-Bird. I still owe you money, T-Bird, by the way. That's still an issue with T-Bird, apparently, from the hot dog eating contest, our first-time champion. I understand there was some on-air complaint about that yesterday from you. And so we will get that fixed. And by the time we leave this broadcast today, you will have $500 by hook or by crook. I just want to assure you of that because you said at the broadcast that the rent payment needed to happen and you needed to get more of the flaxseed or whatever was necessary to help you win. What was it? Chai seed?
Chia seed.
Chia seed, yes. Have people been giving you your props for winning that? Have you noticed that your life has changed?
They have, but it's been a mixed response because of the fact that they were jumbo hot dogs and people don't know that.
They're looking down on the six hot dogs.
They see six as a very weak number.
Yeah.
But
they don't understand it's like Muller played Oakmont, which is the hardest golf course in America. If you shoot even par there, that is a great score, whereas at other tournaments it would not be seen as impressive.
It's the exact same thing.
Yes. This was a very difficult. It'd be like a pitcher at Coors Field. It's hard to pitch there at altitude. And if you don't give up any runs there, it's really impressive. So they eat the jumbo hot dogs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, F those people that are being mean to you about that. I'd like to see how many jumbo hot dogs they could eat in 10 minutes. All right, so we're live at Mike's. I told you Malzie's tailgating right now. Greg Brown going to join me next hour. Deadline debates at 2:35. We have a guest on. There's another Pirates trade rumor out there that I'll pass along. I'd love to get your thoughts on it. That is hot off the presses. Your take on the two topics we talked about. Playoffs or bust for the Pirates, 412-928-9370. What is a record or what do they need to do in the second half of the season where you would say satisfied with the season, content with the season, fine with the season they had, 412-928-9370. And what would you give up for Brandon Ayuk? What is the most you would give the 49ers? Would you give them Highsmith in a trade? 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, live at Mike's. Intern Dom is the headline, and we're right back on the Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We are live at Mike's Beer Bar. You can hear me right now. It is going to become increasingly difficult to hear my voice the closer we get to first pitch because this is the spot. This is the place to be. If you love Pirates baseball, if you're looking to have some pops before the game and hang out with friends, this place is raucous. Close to game time, and it'll fill up, and it'll be electric in here. And hopefully there won't be too many Phillies fans. They have a tendency to take over when they come to town, but it is Yinzer Palooza weekend as a man walks by me in a nice bright red Phillies jersey. He remembers the 79 team. He remembers when they lost out in the division. He remembers Larry Boa and Pete Rose and those a-holes. Anyways, we're talking about the Pirates and their expectations. I just said playoffs are bust for the Bucks. Zeiss literally just posted a column about that in the Post-Gazette, says it is a bust if they don't make it. What's that mean? If they miss out, then Ben Cherington gets fired. Derek Shelton gets fired. You completely start a rebuild all over again with a new regime. It depends how bad it goes. If they end up duplicating last year and they don't make any progress, then it's 76-86, I agree. If it's 82-80 and they missed the playoffs, but they went from 76 wins to 82, then I give them another shot next year, and then it's really playoffs or bust. But I do think, given the financial restraints here, that, and they completely tore it down once Huntington and Hurdle left, 5 years is fair. They feel like they've only gotten four because the COVID year really didn't count. So I'm willing, as long as this year does not unravel, and they've had second-half collapses, 2011, 2012, as long as that doesn't happen, I'm not opposed to running it back with these guys if they finish 500 or better. If they go 77 and 85, I don't think I'm going to feel that way. 412-928-9370. Coming up in 10 minutes, Deadline Debates, our daily segment focusing on the Pirates and the trade deadline. We have an expert coming on to tell us about one of the Pirates' trade targets, a guy who is a very controversial lightning rod player that the Pirates are interested in. But first, let's talk to Hammer. He's on the fan. Hello, Hammer.
Hey, how you doing, man? In
hey,
terms
brother.
Of the Pirates, yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you.
Hello? Oh, okay. Yeah, in terms of the Pirates playoffs or bust, I think right now there's only one person on the Pirates that I truly believe should be a playoff or bust person in consideration, and that's got to be the hitting coach at this point.
Okay. Yeah, because they've been a terrible hitting team all year.
Exactly. I think his job's definitely on the hot seat, but the pitching's been
So if they went 81 and 81, would you fire Shelton?
No, I wouldn't fire Shelton. And to tell you the truth, I really wouldn't even fire the regime. I think it just definitely comes down to spending. I wish Nutting would go out and get some high-priced bats. I think that's the only thing that's really keeping this team down.
Does Hammer think a big trade is coming at the deadline? Do you think help is on the way? Do you think the cavalry is coming between now and July 30th?
My heart is saying yes. My head is saying no.
Thank you, Hammer. We got you. Mark in Squirrel Hill is next. Hello, Mark in Squirrel Hill.
Hey, I'm playoff or bust with a caveat. It all depends on the pitching health. We know Jones is out, and Keller isn't pitching tonight. So, you know, if we have our two of our three best starters unavailable for a significant amount of time, then I give these guys another year because it's not their fault the pitchers aren't healthy. I think they got a really good shot of making the playoffs. I don't think there's going to be a big...
Why is that? Tell me why, because we might not see Jones until September, is what Dan Zangrilli has said. So tell me why, even with the Jones news, you still think this team's going to make the playoffs, Mark?
With Keller and Skeens, and I'm going to bet on Jack Sawinski, even though he's under.
You are. You're a Jack Sawinski guy, Mark, in Squirrel Hill.
No,
you're buying low on him for the second half.
He can't get worse. He can't get worse. And what are you going to get? I mean, you know, I'll take him going 1-for-5 if that's out of the park, you know, over the next couple months. That's what we have. I think just like here, Leland says that it comes down to pitching. If Keller is hurt, then no playoffs.
All right, Mark, thank you. Ben in Pittsburgh is next. Hello, Ben. Ben, you there? Ben going once, Ben going twice. Hang up on him, Dom. Oh, sorry, Ben. Never mind. You there, Ben? You can talk now.
Yeah, I was on mute. Sorry about that.
You're
okay. We just, like the first caller said, just need to show some competency from the front office and spend some money, and I think it goes up to the owner. It sounds like the front office wants to make some moves and sort of make the playoff run a thing, but they're kind of capped at the hands of the owner. So I agree with the first caller. It'd be nice to see some moves, and I don't think it's playoffs or bust if we show some competency from the owner.
All right, so let me ask you a question about that. This is interesting, Ben. If they don't do anything at the trade deadline, if they pretty much stand pat, I'm hearing from you that you're going to blame the owner because you're going to think that he vetoed or prevented a big move and not that the GM was unable to find the right trade. Do I hear that right?
Yeah, I mean, I think last week we heard some headlines from, I don't know if it was Charrington or who from the front office, but sort of some innuendos that they were trying to make some moves but not getting the promises that originally came with this front office. I think Nutting promised them some more money and the capability to build this team up, and I think they've kind of been trying to do that.
All right, Ben, so if you're pessimistic that they're not going to make a move, status quo for the Pirates, where do they finish this year?
I think if they don't make a move, they're going to stay 500 just like they've been the whole year, and we'll just miss a wild card spot. And personally, I think as long as the pitching staff stays healthy, which obviously is our strong point of the game, the strong point of the team. I think we've got a real shot. We just need to add a bat or two, and I think if we make a move, we definitely have a chance to be in one of those top wild card spots. And the division's definitely not out of the picture. I mean, the Brewers aren't that great. We've seen that.
Ben, if you saw Chris Muller when you were walking through the parking lots and he waved you over to shotgun a beer with him, would you do it?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. Dom, would you shotgun a beer with Malzy?
Yes, easily.
How are your shotgunning skills?
Not great, because it's difficult, because you have to, like...
Better than hot dog eating skills?
Yeah, I would say so. There's more involved when you're shotgunning a beer, though.
Would Dom rather play a game of Flip Cup or beer pong?
Well, I won a tournament of beer pong in Syracuse last year, so beer pong.
Do you buy that, T-Bird? You calling BS on that Dom won a beer pong tournament?
Up against who?
Dubious claim.
Bunch of kids at school. And then I went 7-0 on the 4th
of July. A bunch
of
college kids that know how to drink, T-Bird. That's who.
I don't know, man. I'll have to face off against him myself. I'm pretty
Maybe that's the next thing we do.
Yes.
Maybe the next thing we do is we have a station beer pong tournament, and we draw partners at random.
Pony, I'm not kidding.
See you, Wendy.
I would beat every single person at this station in beer pong.
What a claim. I disagree. I there's a lot of rust that's accrued on me, but I think I could come out of retirement and beat your ass, Dom.
I don't think you could. I'm telling you.
Let me get this straight. Me and T-Bird versus you and Harry Callis. You're convinced you're beating us?
Yes. I from the bottom of my heart, I really
do. You guys
do.
Don't stand a chance.
I agree. All right. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. An outlandish claim by Dom to kick off the 2 o'clock hour. All right. Deadline debates are next. A lightning rod player. Is he coming to Pittsburgh? We'll find out next. But first, a headline. Live at Mike's Beer Bar, right next to PNC Park. This place is hopping, and it will be packed as we get closer to first pitch. Pirates and Phillies. Pirates 500 trying to nose their way into a wild card spot. The consensus around baseball, if they get in and their pitching is healthy, look out. And that is why we are ready for another chapter, another episode of Deadline Debates. Discussions about the players the Pirates are reportedly targeting at the trade deadline. And our guest to talk about that is one of the great baseball writers in America from the Miami Herald, also contributes to MLB Network, Craig Mish, and he joined to talk about a guy who's been rumored to the Pirates now for a few weeks, and that is center fielder Jazz Chisholm, because the Pirates have, from a statistical standpoint, offensively, the worst center field batting numbers of any team in Major League Baseball. Craig, let's start with this. Is Jazz Chisholm going to get traded between now and July 30th?
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me. I believe so. I wouldn't say it's 100%. I mean, this is this business can go a number of different ways, as we've seen before, but I think that the Marlins are open for business with the majority of their roster, and with Jazz, you know, sort of hitting an escalator in salary next year, having a good year now, Miami looking at it from the perspective of perhaps next year looks maybe a little better, but similar to this year, it really doesn't make a lot of sense if the Marlins are in that position to hold Jazz. This may be the peak of his playing career at this point. I know the numbers may not represent a perennial All-Star or Hall of Famer or MVP, but he has been healthy for the entire season. He's played elite center field, now playing back to second base. I think that will enhance some of the value on him. And, yeah, come less than 2 weeks from now, I think he'll be wearing another uniform.
The escalating salary, is that to a point where you think it's outside of the Pirates' comfort zone, Craig? What kind of money are we talking about with Jazz Chisholm?
Well, I mean, it's through arbitration, so he's still arbitration eligible. So it's, you know, a few million dollars. But, you know, again, when you're in this day and age of baseball, when teams are making player acquisition, you know, that's kind of the first thing that they look at is how much control do you have of the player. Mm-hmm. And with Jazz being a couple of years from free agency and Miami's window may not be next year, it just may be in the best interest for Miami to get what they can for him now before he hits a point where he's making, I know it's not a lot in baseball terms, $10, $12, $14 million through the last year of arbitration, and then he hits the open market, and Miami probably wouldn't be a buyer at that point on him. So I don't think it's prohibitive for the Pirates at all. It's just what would the return look like, because, again, you're only getting 2.5 years, or less than 2.5 years of control of the player. What are you willing to give up for something like that?
Craig, you have tremendous sources. Are you convinced? Have you heard that the Pirates are one of the teams that are in on Jazz Chisholm?
You know, I think that the discussions that the Pirates and the Marlins have had thus far would probably be described as exploratory. I would not say that there's any advancement as, you know, names exchanged or something that's close. I would not describe it as that. But I do believe the Pirates are among a handful of teams that have at least, I don't want to use too many cliches with you guys on the show, sure, but, you know, kick the tires or something like that.
Oh, we love that. We love when tires get kicked here, Greg.
I hate that stuff, you know, so. I mean, I would not put them ahead of maybe some other teams that have a little bit more serious interest, but there's a lot of boxes that the Pirates check, which is team that is competitive, team that is looking for now and the future, which means, you know, Chisholm has 2 more years of control, you know, and also a market size, I think, that fits the player, too. I think that is a factor in this.
Well, yeah, tell me why that is. Give me a little thought on that here, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, I know Jazz pretty well, and I've known him for a while, and I think that he could flourish in any market, but, you know, I just think that he would be better served to go to a place that is not a Boston, a New York, or a Philadelphia, where they're going to be in his face every single day. I just don't know how that would work out for him. Here in South Florida, the media is so thin that, I mean, he could go a week without having to talk to reporters about anything. And he's a very genuine guy. I just don't know what he would end up saying, to be honest. I just don't know.
Wow.
Because he just wears it out on his sleeve, and I don't know how that would be perceived every single day with reporters and cameras and writers in New York, Philadelphia, Boston. I think a small market for him would be the way to go, where he could lead on a team in a small market. That's
Craig,
what I personally think. I could be wrong. Maybe he'd be phenomenal with the Yankees, but that's just my opinion.
Craig Mish with us here from the Miami Herald. He also contributes to MLB Network on Jazz Chisholm, a name that has been linked to the Pirates. There was just an MLB.com article about this yesterday. Yeah, I wonder too. Now, where is this thing I heard, Craig? Because one of my Pirates people I know said to me, "Well, we don't know about this personality fit." You know, you just mentioned about how he will be brutally honest sometimes and might say something that the team doesn't like. Is that the same thing as the personality fit question that I've had people bring up to me? What's that all about? Personality.
I don't know how to quantify that. I think personality-wise, again, he's a guy that is going to be to his own drum. He's not going to have 20. He's not going to be hanging out with 15, 20 guys and going to dinner after the game. But that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. He's just different.
Sure.
And as far as like the Pirates are concerned, you know, I've done some investigation on this as well and asked those same sort of questions that you are. And it's not like the Pirates are in that clubhouse, you know, loaded with vocal guys there, guys. It's just not the case. Now, they have leadership, there's no question, with Kutch and Brian Reynolds. I mean,
they got some of the most boring quotes in the league, Craig. They're not leading the league.
These are not two guys that are out front, you know, calling guys out, and we got to, you know, rah-rah. These are just not those guys. I mean, Kutch is a potential Hall of Famer. Reynolds is fantastic, but they're not going to go down in history as the most vocal leaders that the Pirates have ever had. I mean, they're not going to be Willie Stargell, you know? That's just not going to be.
Craig,
so,
before we get you out here, because I'm up against it, I got to get this one in.
Sure.
What do you think it's going to take to get Jazz Chisholm?
Not as much as people think, but a painful enough trade where you'd be losing some lower-level players from your farm system. That would be my estimation.
Ooh, so what would you define lower level as? That's an interesting
players
quote.
Players 2-3 years away from the big leagues that are higher up in your prospect list. Major league players that are not ready. Like Tamar Johnson, no, that would not be it. It would be players that are not ready to go next year, but maybe 2-3 years down the line.
Craig, thank you so much for this. This has been fantastic. We appreciate you coming on with us, and thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Craig Mish there. I will try that green tea and vodka. Thank you. We're at Mike's Beer Bar. I don't do endorsements for these people at all. They've not paid me a cent. This Surfside T-Bird is phenomenal. Have you tried these? These are out of this world.
Yeah, it's really
They're
good.
Tremendous.
Very good.
I'm blown away by them here at Mike's Beer Bar. Come down and have one. That quote from Craig on exploratory discussions between the Pirates and Marlins on Jazz Chisholm, that perked my ears up right there. As we'll continue to talk about what the Pirates should do at the trade deadline, we are right next to PNC Park. One of the big stories here is no Mitch Keller, no Paul Skeens for this series against the Phillies. We'll get into that coming up and more. 412-928-9370 to join the conversation. We will take a timeout and then a long commercial-free segment here until the leadoff show at 540. It's the PM Team on the Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.